So after getting married is when I first started experiencing the headaches, and they were quite severe. And I didn't understand them because I had never had anything like that before in my life. Right when I was diagnosed, my husband and I were actively trying for a family, which is heartbreaking for us both. And then I was diagnosed this past New Year's. We went away to the wine country for kind of a New Year's Eve celebration, and by Jan 1, the following day, I was diagnosed with cancer and told I was terminally ill.
That's the now familiar voice of Brittany Maynard. She's a young woman, less than 30 years old, newly married. You've seen her face all over social media and the news. And according to her own statement there, diagnosed with terminal brain cancer. Now, she's being heralded as a woman of great courage because what she plans to do, what she intends to do, is not let cancer, her cancer, take her life. She intends to take her own. Her family approves, her husband approves. They talk about the relief of being able to choose when and how to die. And many people think, and many people are saying, well, if I were in her shoes, I'd like to be able to do the same thing. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, October the 17th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about this 29-year-old woman with brain cancer who has chosen to end her own life. She said, in fact, today in People magazine, in less than 3 weeks, she plans to take her own life because she doesn't want to die from the cancer that she has. Maggie Karner will be our guest, author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Brain Cancer May Will Likely Kill Me, But There's No Way I'll Kill Myself. A little bit later, we'll talk with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, continue our series on responding to evangelical proof text today, Romans chapter 10. And then Pastor Paul McCain will be alongside for the entire second hour of this Friday afternoon's broadcast. We're going to be in part five of our series on the small called articles from the Lutheran Confessions, the Book of Concord. Today, Luther says these subjects, sin, law, repentance, the false repentance of the papists, he says the Pope didn't care about these subjects. All he cares about is honor and money, but Luther does care, and so should his theological descendants. We'll talk about that with Pastor Paul McCain in hour two of Issues Etc. Maggie Karner is a regular guest. She's director of Life and Health Ministries for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Brain Cancer Will Likely Kill Me, But There's No Way I'll Kill Myself. Maggie, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You've heard what Brittany Maynard and her family have to say about her terminal illness. You really know exactly what she's going through, don't you?
Yeah, unfortunately I do. I've been diagnosed with the same type of stage 4 glioblastoma brain cancer that she has, and I was diagnosed this last spring in April. Had emergency surgery to remove the tumor, and then they did a biopsy and determined it was stage 4 glioblastoma. So I've been going through therapies ever since then. I've kind of been in and out of work and trying to fight the thing as best I can, but it's a very aggressive type of brain cancer.
Now, when you say that your cancer may likely kill you, but you won't kill yourself. Are you saying you've never, that the temptation there isn't there to say, I'd like to take a different way out of this than the cancer is going to take me?
Well, I mean, anytime you, if you Google the disease, you know, you get all creeped out because then you always, my daughter's a nurse, she says, never Google any disease. You'll get scared. And the doctors told me the same thing. I'm pretty confident. I mean, I know that I'll have, my body will degenerate and I will have, limited use of my facilities toward the end. And that kind of, that scares me. But I had an experience with my father who, and I mentioned this in the article that I wrote, my dad was the most active guy I know, and, when I was a young mother, he had an accident where he severed his spinal cord and ended up as a quadriplegic. He was paralyzed from the neck down. And so my siblings and I just were in total shock, and we spent lots of time with Dad every day, sitting with him at his bedside. And when it was all said and done, we realized we learned a lot about ourselves. And we felt horrible for Dad. I mean, we felt like, oh, my gosh, we get to get up and leave the room, but he has to stay here. And one day I was sitting there talking to my dad, and he said, hey, Meg, hasn't this been great? And I thought, what? How can you say that? You can't even move your fingers. And he said, I said, well, what? How can you say that? And he said, well, it's just been great just sitting here having time to talk. And I thought, oh, I can't believe he can say that. And I learned so much about myself and about devotion and servanthood and love and family and what it means to be a Christian servant in that time period. And I don't want to deprive my children of that same blessing. I assume and I know that they'll be at my bedside when I can't move my finger anymore, you know. And I want them to have that. Author Cheryl Magnus wrote a recent article for the Federalist as well. It's called I Want to Be a Burden to My Children. And I feel the same way.
Now, let's talk a little bit about, before we get into some of the other things that Brittany Maynard and her husband are saying publicly about her intended suicide. She would call it her choice. She does not use the word suicide. Is it important to you that we recognize what she plans to do? We don't know that she will, but what she plans to do as suicide?
Absolutely. I think that's part of the whole campaign by this pro-euthanasia group, Compassion and Choices. In fact, I live in Connecticut, and we're kind of in the crosshairs of their target right now. They had a failed attempt in Connecticut the last legislative session, and they're going to float it again in the legislative session this year. And so a lot of their resources and money and campaigning is done here in my state. They refuse to use the word. They don't even like to use assisted suicide anymore. They won't call it that. They call it death with dignity or choice in dying, all kinds of euphemistic sounding words that make it sound a little more warm and fuzzy than what it really is. But the truth of it is that you personally, if you choose this, you will take the pills that will end your life, and so you will choose suicide.
Let's hear again from Brittany Maynard and her husband, Dan, on, well, the word that they use here, Maggie, is relief.
I can't even tell you the amount of relief that it provides me to know that I don't have to die the way that it's been described to me that my brain tumor would take me on its own.
Death with dignity allows for people who are in the predicament of facing a lot of suffering that they can decide when enough is enough. Between, you know, suffering or being allowed to decide when enough is enough, it just, to me, makes it provides a lot of relief and comfort that, okay, that option is there if and when we decide and or she decides that, you know, it's time.
Maggie, how do you respond to what both of them had to say there, both Brittany and Dan Maynard, about the relief that making her death her choice brings to them?
Well, first of all, I object to the idea that they make it sound like there's only two options. There's either assisted suicide or, you know, that or pain and suffering. I mean, there is another option, and that you don't have to deal with the pain and the suffering. There are lots of very high-tech pain relief therapies out there in hospice and palliative care that our medical people are very attuned to now. It's not like you're just going to be writhing in pain at the end and can't stand it. And it's not like that anymore. In fact, Connecticut was the first state in the union that had the first hospice care. And we need to recognize that important vocation, our hospice workers that care for people towards the end of their life and make it a peaceful, spiritually, ethical moment for them and their families. So there's not just two choices. It's not down to kill yourself or you're going to be in pain. There are lots of other options. And so when she talks about relief, I don't think she's done all of her homework. I think that I wish that someone would talk to her about some of the other types of palliative care that are available to people with a terminal illness.
And I concur with you entirely, Maggie. I was actually standing at a hospice bedside less than 24 hours ago, maybe a little bit more than 24 hours ago, down in Fort Worth, Texas, of one of my parishioners. And their entire intent there is not to hasten death, but to, for lack of a better word, attend death with the absolute best pain relief and care that can be given. I mean, talk about a compassionate choice.
Exactly.
It's far more compassionate than a bottle of pills. What are your thoughts?
Exactly. And, you know, as a Christian, obviously I have an entirely different worldview than Ms. Maynard has. My relief comes in knowing where I'm going and that my loving Savior has already adopted me as his child through baptism. He grabbed me out of that water. I essentially already died in my baptism, into Christ. And so I'm kind of on phase two now. I'm heading home. So I'm looking forward to that. And that, for me, is the greatest relief that I can have. And when Christ breathed his CPR breath of life into me at my baptism, I've been totally renewed, and I don't have to worry about my death, where I'm going. I know that Jesus, who understands suffering better than anybody, is going to walk through this with me, hold my hand the whole time, and lead me home. So I don't have to worry about that. That's my relief. I don't need pills for relief.
Maggie Connor is our guest on this Friday afternoon, October the 18th, responding to some of the stuff that's circulating in the news and social media about a 29-year-old woman with brain cancer who's chosen to end her own life, Brittany Maynard. She has announced in People magazine today that she plans to do it within 3 weeks from today. Maggie is Director of Life and Health Ministries for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, "Brain Cancer Will Likely Kill Me, But There's No Way I'll Kill Myself." We'll be right back.
You can call it what you like. I call it life. I call it life. I prayed for things.
Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
Ernst Heating and Cooling is a third-generation, family-owned company and has been serving the Metro East for decades. Ernst is a Lennox and GeoComfort geothermal dealer and services all makes and models of heating and cooling systems. Now is the time for your heating system checkup. Whether it's service or maintenance for your existing heating or cooling system or a whole new system, you need to call Ernst Heating and Cooling. Call them at 618-633-2244 or ErnstHeating.com. Ernst Heating and Cooling, Hamel, Illinois.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Garfield, New Jersey. Grace Lutheran, Naples, Florida. St. John's Lutheran, Chicago, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Unionville, Michigan. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Beverly Hills, California. Epiphany Lutheran, Door, Michigan. The Good Shepherd Lutheran, Inglewood, California. St. John's Lutheran, Sayville, New York. Apostles Lutheran, Melrose Park, Illinois. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Elizabeth, Colorado. Grace Lutheran, Strasburg, Illinois. And Bethel Lutheran, Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, the Issues Etc. 300.
I don't wake up every day and look at it. It's in a safe spot, and I know that it's there when I need it. I plan to be surrounded by my immediate family, which is my husband and my mother and my stepfather and my best friend, who's also a physician, and probably not much more people. And I will die upstairs in my bedroom that I share with my husband, with my mother and my husband by my side, and pass peacefully with some music that I like in the background.
That's Brittany Maynard, a 29-year-old woman with brain cancer who has chosen, who plans to take her own life. We're talking about her case with Maggie Carner, author of a recent column for The Federalist titled "Brain Cancer Will Likely Kill Me, But There's No Way I'll Kill Myself." Maggie, how do you respond to Brittany's sentiment there that, you know, she has her bottle of pills when she's talking there at the beginning of that cut? She's actually holding two bottles of pills that she's been given with which she can commit suicide. She kind of has that sense of security, she says, in that, and that she'll die in her own bed surrounded by everyone that she loves. What are your thoughts there?
Well, I intend to do the same, but I'm just not going to choose when I die. God's going to choose when I die. I understand her sentiment about wanting it to be intimate, but I think she has sort of a romanticized view of death, or she wants it to be. Death is not pretty. Death is ugly. Having been through it with my father and my mom, it's our enemy, our number one enemy as Christians. And fortunately, Jesus has saved us from eternal death, and we don't have to fight that fight. He fought it for us. But I understand, her wanting to take control of this situation. And unfortunately, that's what happens often lots of people are diagnosed, and when you get the diagnosis, you feel totally out of control. And then eventually you realize the idea that any of us are in control is just a fallacy to begin with. We think we know what we're going to do when we get up tomorrow. We're going to wash our face and brush our teeth and go to work. But it's not that way. I mean, at any time, God can choose to take anybody. And obviously it's become difficult to live with that monkey on your back all the time, but people with terminal illnesses do. And so you don't know whether you're going to get up the next day and brush your teeth and wash your face. And so you tend to value every moment. And so that's kind of what I'm trying to do, is value every moment, have this appreciation of the small, simple things, and value the people that are caring for me right now. I have a tremendous medical team. I have a tremendous church family who cares deeply and tenderly for me and my family, and that's a gift right there.
Well, let's hear some similar sentiments and make some distinctions. This again is Brittany Maynard.
I hope to enjoy however many days I have left on this beautiful earth and spend as much of it outside as I can, surrounded by those I love. I hope to pass in peace. The reason to consider life and what's of value is to make sure you're not missing out. Seize the day. What's important to you? What do you care about? What matters? Pursue that. Forget the rest.
Maggie, nothing kind of focuses the mind like the danger ahead, or I can only imagine, nothing focuses the mind with the almost certain knowledge that the cancer that you have will end your life. So how would you distinguish what you just said from what we just heard Brittany Maynard say about kind of the priorities of life come into focus, and then the things that are most important and most to be valued in the days that remain for you?
Well, She tends to desire deeply control over her disease. And I understand that because it's a disease that leaves you feeling helpless and needy. But God wants us to be comfortable in our dependence upon Him because He's got it under control. I have no doubt in my mind that I was given this disease as a blessing already. I've seen many, many positive things that have come from it. And so I don't want to grab for God's control on my own. I don't want to try to grab that control out of His hands and try and take it in my own. You know, as far as cancer, the worst thing that could happen to me is not losing control. It's losing my faith and trying to grab that control out of God's hands instead of looking to find out what God's purpose is for this in my life and in the life of those around me. And we can't forget how important your experiences are to the people around you. I mean, my children and my husband and my family already, we've seen amazing things happen. And I can attest to that on the legacy that my father left me in the way he died and what that meant to me and my spiritual growth.
Maggie, I want you to respond to what is commonly, I'm sure people don't say this to you, but it's commonly voiced as a criticism when someone like you says, look, I'm going to last as long as I can, but I'm not going to take my own life. I'm going to enjoy what I have left, but I'm not going to seize control from the one who made me and redeemed me. The criticism is, look, to be quite frank, you're just being selfish. You're going to bankrupt your family and put them through all of that pain and that anguish. It would be easier for them if you took the path that Brittany Maynard has chosen for herself. How do you respond to that?
Of course it would be easier for them, but life isn't supposed to be easy. You know, and then if you look, you know, I've been talking about the spiritual dimension of this, but if you can look at it from a logical standpoint too, and from a public policy angle, if we're going to talk about making good policy on this issue in the kingdom of the left, in our state houses, we have to be able to look at all the hard cases and be able to talk about it in a very rational way. If Marilyn Golden, who is a policy analyst for Disability Rights Group and the Defense Fund, she herself came out and said that euthanasia is very disconcerting for people that advocate for folks with disabilities. She said assisted suicide is not progressive. It puts many vulnerable people at risk, and we've already seen examples of that where it is legal in Oregon specifically. So people that are worried about people that are vulnerable, the elderly, the mentally ill, people that have disabilities, they're very concerned about what this could lead to. You have to really do some studying, and everybody has to come to the table with the same vocabulary. We can't just keep talking about it as death with dignity or whatever they want to call it, this warm and fuzzy. We have to talk about what this really means. You're giving doctors who took the Hippocratic Oath the power to prescribe death.
I want your thoughts on that here, because we have seen the track record in countries where they started talking about euthanasia, death with dignity, compassion in dying, all the same rhetoric, all the same euphemisms, and have not stopped there, but have put more and more control not only in the hands of the doctors to decide who lives and who dies, but in the hands of the state to decide who lives, who dies, and when someone ought to die. What are your thoughts there, Maggie?
Well, yeah, it's a huge slippery slope. I mean, you look at what's been going on in the Netherlands, and they just recently gave children the ability to choose assisted suicide. How does a child understand these big, complex thoughts, and how does a child make this decision on their own? The Oregon law allows for one of the so-called safeguards is that doctors can refuse to prescribe the death pills if they feel like someone is mentally incapacitated or cannot make the decision for themselves. But how are those doctors going to know whether someone is depressed or mentally incapacitated without a full mental health examination? And yet in 1 year, not one, I think it was in 2009, not one doctor referred their patient for a mental health exam. So we're talking about a lot of different issues here, and some of these things are clouding our judgment. If we're going to make good policy decisions, we have to help people understand where this rabbit trail may lead us.
Finally, if you had a few minutes to sit down with Brittany Maynard and talk with her, cancer patient to cancer patient, terminally ill to terminally ill, what would you say to her?
Well, I give her a huge hug first because we both need a hug. And I would cry with her probably because only she knows what I feel and likewise. But then as a Christian, I would want to take those precious moments and share with her the relief that I get through my faith in Christ and the fact that I'm a baptized child and I'm a child of God and I know where I'm going and I don't have to be afraid because I have a Savior that's going to go through it with me.
Maggie Carner is Director of Life and Health Ministries for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. She's authored a recent column for The Federalist titled "Brain Cancer Will Likely Kill Me, But There's No Way I'll Kill Myself." You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Maggie, Godspeed, and keep up the good work. Thanks for being our guest.
Thanks, Pastor.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time on this Friday afternoon talking with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, responding to evangelical proof text. Today, we're going to be in Romans chapter 10, and then in hour two of Issues, Etc. We're going to spend that entire hour in part five of our series on Luther's penned small called articles in the Lutheran Confessions on the subjects of sin, the law, and repentance. Pastor Paul McCain will be our guest. We'll be right back.
The Lord has gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. These gifts can be received every week at both Grace Lutheran Church and Trinity Lutheran Church in Wichita, Kansas. Join us for divine services at Grace on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m., as well as every Wednesday at 11 a.m., or at Trinity every Sunday at 11 a.m. Grace is located at 3310 East Pawnee and Trinity at 611 South Erie. Gather with us around our Lord and His giving His gifts to us. See you soon.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love of truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues, Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one's study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to, you know, help them to get a sense of, A, you know, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu.